Hello again and welcome back. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington with As It Is. We are here 7 days a week to help you learn and improve your American English. At the same time, we tell you about interesting things that are happening around the world. Today, we begin with news of a new study that measures the costs of being too fat. Not only does being overweight affect individuals, the problem also costs the entire world. We will tell you why. Then, we hear from Afghanistan. A number of women there are beginning to change society on the sports field. There you have it. Two important stories are coming your way. Let's get started with part one. A new report says that being extremely overweight puts a heavy cost on the world economy. $2 trillion in health care costs and missed work days, to be exact. The report says being overweight costs nations around the world as much as smoking or fighting terrorism. And it says obesity can even be more damaging than alcohol abuse. Ann Ball has more.
The report comes from a group called the McKinsey Global Institute. Researchers found that more than 2 billion people worldwide are obese. They have too much body fat. That number represents about one-third of the world's population. The researchers found that obesity is responsible for about 5% of all deaths worldwide. And they say it requires the world economy to pay for health care costs and missed work days. The report found the total price of obesity is about 2.8% of the yearly global economy. Diane Hess specializes in obesity in children. She says 80% of children who struggle with their weight become obese or overweight adults. She says fast, low-cost, high-calorie food has caused the obesity epidemic.
I work in New York City where you walk into a waiting room in any pediatric hospital and you look around the waiting room and the kids are eating, you know, Doritos and chips in a bag and some of the babies have fruit punch in their bottles.
Experts use a mathematical formula to show whether someone is obese. They divide a person's weight in kilograms by the square of his or her height in meters. The result is the person's body mass index, or BMI. Someone who has a BMI greater than 25 is considered overweight. Someone with a BMI of between 30 and 40 is considered obese. Experts are calling on governments, healthcare systems, and food companies to develop a joint effort for dealing with the weight crisis. The report names 44 interventions to help stop the obesity epidemic. For example, researchers proposed healthcare campaigns and serving healthy meals in school. They also want food products to list calorie content. Diane Hess says parents are also important. She says they can teach even young children how to eat well and exercise.
It's education in the home. It's getting people moving, going to walk after dinner, parking. If you're going to the shopping mall, parking the furthest instead of the closest to the store. Getting off one bus stop or subway stop earlier. I mean, even in the airports, they have people movers. People don't walk anymore.
No one improvement is going to solve the problem, experts say. But several measures together may start to address the issue. I'm Ann Ball.
You are listening to The Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. For many years in Afghanistan, women were not permitted to play outdoor games. They were banned from playing under the former Taliban government. One of the banned sports was football, known in the United States as soccer. But as we hear from Jonathan Evans, the rise of a national women's football team is a sign of change in the country.
The Afghan women's team recently went to Pakistan to compete in the South Asian Football Federation Championship. The games were played at Jinnah Stadium near Pakistan's capital, Islamabad. The Afghan team did not win any of its games, but the players seem hopeful that they will do better in the future. They also hope the new Afghan president, Ashraf Ghani, will take more steps to support women's football in Afghanistan. 21-year-old Frozan Tajali is the captain of the Afghan women's team. She says that increased involvement in international events is helping the team improve its skills. She says that a 4-team female football league was organized in October. The teams played in Kabul. She adds that the football league helped in identifying players for the national team. She says, women are now free and can play football in Afghanistan. We recently organized a league, and 20 girls came from one province alone to Kabul to take part in the league. 20-year-old Yalda Akhandawal came all the way from the United States to represent her country at the football championship. She understands the cultural limits on women playing football and other sports in parts of Afghanistan. However, she says, things have improved.
There's a lot more brighter cases in Afghanistan. It's not just the Taliban taking over and nobody has any rights. We do have rights. It's more free. We have our president. He's trying to make the country better for us. And yes, the women now are getting better, and as you see, this is a big example for you. They're out here playing soccer, so that should be a big improvement that, yes, Afghanistan is proving as a country, and they will in the future.
Yalda is from Kabul. She moved to the United States 10 years ago with her family. While there, she started playing football. She says the Afghan team must improve to compete with countries like India and Nepal.
Yeah, we lost, but that doesn't matter. As long as we tried our best, we tried really, really hard, and we worked how we want to work, it's totally fine. This is just the beginning for Afghanistan national soccer team and for the women in Afghanistan. This could be a big start, and it could just lead us into a more brighter future.
Yalda was one of 5 female Afghan players who live abroad. But she and the others returned to Afghanistan to represent the national team in international events. Monika Staub of Germany is an advisor with the International Federation of Association Football, the organization better known as FIFA. She watched all of the teams compete at the South Asian Football Federation Championship. Ms. Staub says that she saw great improvement in the Afghan team's performance since she first saw the team play in 2007.
Afghanistan women want to play. I know the Taliban, all these people who say women should stay at home. Things are changing. We're now in 2014 and we have to give the girls the opportunity. We have to push them who want to play, let them play.
The football players wear black head coverings and black leggings in all of their matches. The women do this to obey the rules of their country's strong Islamic culture. The Taliban may not be in power, but males and females remain on unequal footing in Afghanistan. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Thanks for listening. This is VOA, the Voice of America.